Well, thank you for letting me be here. I want to just give the Lord all the praise and the glory, you know, from where I'm at today, because it's not been none of my genius that got me here. I can think back of all the things that transpired in my life and wondering, God's grace is really good and merciful. All the struggles that we go through in order to, as men, to find a livelihood and maybe some security and chasing money and getting off track. I was born and raised here till the middle 50s. My dad was a railroad man at the depot, and we moved to Phoenix. And it seemed like life changed for me right then, because I got into a neighborhood with much older kids, and a lot of prejudice. Used to get called spick and half-breed and everything like that, because my folks spoke better Spanish than they did English. And it made me mean. And being a short person made me even meaner. I grew up, I grew up with a lot of rejection. And I loved to fight, even for a short man. Being left-handed, I could surprise them. And but what it did is it made me strive for excellence and the applause of men. That was really important to me, because it seemed like through the rejection, nobody ever listened to me or paid much attention. It seemed like I grew up with a lot of hatred for bigger men. And I guess that's what made me want to fight. And so somewhere along the line in high school, I got into bull riding for a couple years for the applause of men and ego. And then in the course of it, they were taking minorities in the trades. And I was Bass, so I played that card. And I got into the iron workers. And during that interview, there was a bunch of iron workers there and a bunch of tradesmen there for the board. And they interviewed me, asked me a bunch of questions if I was afraid of heights. And I told them, no, I lied like crazy, because there was big money in iron workers back then. And so one of the men came out and said, Lou, we, you know, accepted you. And congratulations. And he said, but there's one thing. He said that you spell Basque, B-A-S-Q-U-E, not B-A-S-K. So that made me a good candidate for the iron workers, because you didn't need to be smart. It just showed them how dumb I was. So in that, where I'm going with that, is that that was another ego thing in order to lift myself up before men, because a lot of men couldn't work the height. Climbing columns with a full tool belt. It was just short man's. I've always dealt with it. Until I got saved, as that God started helping me to accept myself the way that he made me. And that was a hard transition. I got into the welding. I was a connector, and we were always up high using spud wrenches and sleever bars. And I seen men go in the hole, and it really made an impact in my life watching them fall a couple hundred feet. Other iron workers, laborers falling through grading when one pulled the board off and stepped backwards and fell and busted his head. And he died in his brother's arms right there. And it shocked me into the point where I wasn't going to be able to, I didn't think I'd live forever. It made me start thinking about where I was going to spend eternity. My mom was a Christian, and she was a Pentecostal, and she prayed for us boys, and for all of us. There was five of us in our family. My oldest brother committed suicide. I was the last one to see him at 16, and that was another impact in my life that really shook me. We had to move because we couldn't stay there anymore. My brother was a Marine, and his wife told him, if you don't get out, I'm going to divorce you. Well, he got out. And she divorced him anyway, and it shook his life I wanted to be a Marine. And it just devastated. It made such an impact in my life. I still think about it at times. And but getting back to the iron worker part, is that was a major impact in my life. I got into the welding. I've been welding now for 46 years. And because I knew that if I stayed as a connector, and I told myself I'd never take pills or get drunk and work on the iron because I knew I'd go in the hole. But an iron worker apprentice that I'd worked with, I seen him a couple years later, and I was telling him about the girls I was chasing and the fun I was having. He didn't really say anything. About the third or fourth day, I saw him at the water hole, and I saw Jesus Loves You on his hard hat. And I said, Jimmy, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. And he invited me to church. I went to church with him and felt the conviction of God. It was that time in my life that, you know, I needed Christ in my life. I was going to hell fast. And just with a bunch of crazy iron workers drinking and fighting and talking jobs and stupid stuff, you know, that men do. And I got saved. And I was living with my wife now of 40 years. And I moved her out after about 3 months. I wanted to give Jesus a chance in our life. And I told her I couldn't rob her of her goodies and still try to serve Jesus. And so I moved her out in Phoenix in a tough part of the neighborhood, 7th Street, just off of Roosevelt over by Phoenix Union High School where I used to go. You had to fight to live at that school. And so I moved her out, and I told her I was moving to Minnesota. They was working 712s up there. And I told her I didn't love her, and I wasn't going to marry her. And well, God dealt with me for about 3 months. I took them other iron workers to the bars, and God really changed me because every other word was mother effer. Just a foul little man, just looking for the applause and the affirmation of other men. And so in the course of that 3 months, I'd go to church when I could. And I wasn't drinking, and God truly changed me. I used to smoke a little pot, and I was a drunkard. And God changed me, and there was a radical change. And I wanted to give the Lord a chance. Well, I called her 3 months later and asked her if she'd marry me, and I flew her back up there, and God waived the 3 days to judge, and we got married, and we moved around a lot. But the Lord's been the glue. Otherwise, she'd have thrown me in the trash a long time ago because I came with a lot of baggage, and it was my way or the highway, and those that eat my bread sing my song. And all of those things like that. And I put her through a lot of hell. And it's only been God's grace that she had became a Christian while I was gone. And she believed in it. And she didn't come with the baggage that I did. And she wasn't about to divorce me over my stupidity because she was going to make it work. And so life has been the best. I wished I'd have got saved at a much earlier age because it would have saved a lot of scars, a lot of scars, a lot of head stuff that the devil tries to torment you still, that you fight, that's a constant battle of war, that we have to keep a guard on our heart and on our eyes, like what it says, we have to make a covenant with our eyes because there's a lot of seducing things out there. Even a man of my age and these young women around that have no scruples, you still have to fight the battle. You know, the lust and the garbage that goes with it and what you see automatically. We haven't had a television for 29 years. And just the stuff that flashes you, you know, on the internet, it's filth, it's garbage. You just can't go there. And God's just really helped us, and all I can say is that Jesus is worth serving. And I'd be dead. I know I'd be dead. Money had became my God at Salt River Project. I worked iron for 9 years. I switched over as a high-pressure steam welder with Salt River Project up in the St. John's area, and then they'd ship us to Page back and forth. And just through all the money chasing and everything else and the things that God's given me the grace without killing me to let me work through my salvation little by little, day by day, year by year, has brought me to the point to where when it's all said and done, and I've always prepared my wife because I'm 10 years older than her, if I croak, you know, you do this, you do this, you do this. And I've always tried to prepare her. Even when we got married now as an iron worker, I told her, don't ever plan on owning a house. You know, you'll just be on the road with me. If you love me, you'll move with me. If you don't, hit the road. And she's a good woman. You know, she stuck by me. But that's been through Christ, because if she hadn't have been saved, it'd have been all over with a long time ago. And I'd been married once before, and I lost 2 children. And that was my fault. That was all selfishness and stupidity and just being an idiot. You know, for youth, what youth gives you doesn't give you much sense. You know, you think you know it all, but you don't know jack. And so I kind of bounced around a little bit in order to give you an idea of where I came from and what it took to get me to surrender my life to Christ. And I was making $62,200, and that was 27 years ago for a working man. That was pretty good money. And Nancy and I gave that up to come down here and be a part of the Potter's House, because they preached the gospel and they took it outside the four walls. And I've never regretted the move. That was a lot of money back then. I had everything, the best insurance, everything that a good, wonderful company like that could offer, and we gave it up. Not only that, I wanted to stay saved. And when I heard Pastor Mitchell preach, I knew, it took 3 years to get here, I knew that this is where I wanted to be and this is where our destiny was going to be, because money, I had opportunities with my own crane and different things to make a lot more money and not come here. But God led us here, and we settled here, and I wanted to raise 3 boys here. Prescott never had any money to offer me, you know, to come back here to Mayberry, even though I was born here. It didn't have nothing to offer, but the Potter's House was the glue, and I've never regretted it, and it was the best decision that I'd ever made, and here I am, and I wouldn't change being here for nothing. The godly example of the men and all you brothers and families, or, you know, been a family. I've always been an introvert, and I've always depended on myself to make it on my own, because nobody else was there to help you. And but Christ is, he's everything. You know, without him, I wouldn't be nothing. And I've definitely gone through struggles and highs and lows, but Christ has never left me and always helped me through it. Okay?
Praise God. I am glad to be saved, you guys. I got my heart right. It'll be 2 years in December. I got my heart right. But what I want to tell you guys today is a little bit about who I was. When I was a young man, I grew up without a dad. And it had more of an impact on me than I realized, because when I was a boy, I had friends who had dads, and I would see them with their dads, and it bothered me. And as a young boy, even as a young boy, I always wondered why I didn't have a dad, and I got the courage enough to ask my mom one time, and she told me that he had left her for another woman. And in that, it made me angry, and I always said to myself, even as a young teenager, that I wanted to be a better dad than the one I never had. And through the course of life, this was something that even in school, we were in a home economics class, and the teacher asked, you know, they went around the class, what do you want to be? And I remember saying, I wanted to be a dad, and I was like 15 years old. I wanted to be a dad. I wanted to be a better dad than the one I didn't have. And throughout the course of my life, this was something as a young person that I wanted. But then, you know, you get lost in the sex, drugs, rock and roll, as I did when I was a teenager. But when I was about 16 years old, I met God up in Williams through a man named Steve Garibay. I don't know if some of you guys might remember that name. But Steve Garibay introduced me to God in a real and dynamic way. And as it was, though, I let the youthful influences dissuade me from serving God. But in January of 1981, I moved to Prescott. And in February of that year, February 28th, 1981, I was handed a flyer by Peter Dubois, and I was invited to a music scene. And I went to the music scene when the church was over there on Ruth Street. And that night, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I lived for God for a number of years in this church. And through the course of time, I met a wonderful woman. We got married, and we started having kids. And I was so happy because I finally got to do what I wanted to do, and that was be a dad. And then an ugly thing happened, and I went through a divorce. And the thing that troubled me the most about that divorce was that I let down my children. My children were the only thing that I lived for throughout the course of my time being backslidden. And the thing that I wanted most was for my children to know that I loved them, and that I longed for them to understand that I did not mean to hurt them. And for 25 years, I held myself in contempt because of what I did. Because the thing that I wanted the most, the thing that I cherished the most, I destroyed because of sin. And when I got my heart right with God, I began to pray about my relationship with my children. I began to pray that God would restore what the divorce had destroyed. And in this, there was such a longing and a yearning. You guys, I can't even express to you how much I longed for my children to understand how much I loved them. I ached for 25 years. I ached with such a sincerity, man. You guys, I can't even explain to you how deeply and how passionately I longed and pined for my children to understand that I loved them. And in that, one day, I was praying. And I was praying those very words that I longed, pined, yearned for my children to understand that I love them. And God spoke to my heart. He spoke to my heart in such a dynamic way that the rest of my morning's prayer, I just spent weeping. Because God said, that's how I love you. I love you so deeply, so sincerely, so intently, that I died for you. You know, and this revelation has carried me these past 2 years. And I believe that God really loves me. Amen. And not only does he love me, but he loves each and every one of us in here. And he loved us so intently, so sincerely, that he took upon himself the form of flesh. He became flesh. He dwelt among us as a person of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, he died so that we could know him, so that we could know his love, so that we could know how deeply and earnestly he cares for our souls. And you know what? The thing that I want to convey to you today, you guys, is that God loves you. God loves you so much. And if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know him today. And you can know this love that I'm trying to tell you about. It is real. My relationship with God is personal. It isn't just some religious catechism that I'm going through. Years ago, I used to do what I did out of duty. But I do what I do now out of desire because I have truly fallen in love with God because he has shown me how much he truly loves me. And he showed me that through the pain that I experienced with my longing for my children, my deep, intent longing. I can't even put into words how, 25 years I held myself in contempt because of what I did. And that pain that I experienced is what God used to show me and demonstrate to me that that's how he feels about me, that he longs for us, he yearns for us, he pines for us deep down in his soul so much that it moved him to action. And that action was that he took upon himself the form of Jesus Christ and allowed himself to be brutally crucified on a cross and shed his blood so that we could know the love of God, so that we could know forgiveness of sins, so that we could know, you guys, so that we could know His intimate and sincere love. And if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to have an opportunity here in a minute. Because God wants to be in your life, but He's not going to violate your will. You have to open your heart to Him. You have to open your heart to Him. God loves you. God cares about you. And He wants to be a part of your life if you'll let Him. And on that note, if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. You know, Jesus Christ came to this earth for one reason and one reason alone. And that was to die upon Calvary's cross and become the ultimate and final sacrifice for sin. Because sin is what separates us from God. And without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there can be no forgiveness of sins. And today, if you will open your heart to what I'm saying, God will come into your life and He will prove Himself to you. He wants to prove Himself to you. He wants to show you that He loves you, that He cares about you, and that He wants you to know how intimate a relationship you can have with Him. And if there's anybody in this place today, if there's anybody at all, if you want to know this wonderful, glorious love that I'm talking about, just do one thing real quick. Just lift your hand and say, yes, I want to know the love of God. I want to know what it is to be forgiven of my sins. I want to know what it is to be born again and to know this wonderful love of God. Anybody at all? Backsliders? I was backslidden for 25 years. I was away from the love of God for 25 years. And I can tell you right now that God loves you so much. Backslider, if your heart is not right with God, quit resisting Him. Quit being so stubborn. Let God back into your life. God loves you. God cares about you. And that's why Jesus Christ died for your sins. That's why Jesus died, so that you could know this love. Anybody at all, Jesus loves you. He wants to be a part of your life. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Amen. Anybody at all, just lift your hand real quick, real quick. Praise God. All right, well, you know, you guys, I was backslidden for 25 years. And to you saints, my brothers, I want you to know that we serve a good God. We serve a loving God. And for you who have been saved a number of years, don't forget that. I was away for so long. I feel like a new convert, you guys. I am excited and happy to be born again, to be saved. And you know what, you older saints? Don't forget that. Don't forget. Don't get lethargic in that. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Amen. It's all you.